Thank you for coming to the Lord's house tonight. We're glad for each one of you, member, visitor, young and old, and we won't draw straws to see who's the oldest. Nor to see who's the smartest. Or the best looking. But we're here and we're in the Lord's house. And you know, while the choir was singing, I happened to think of a part of American history that reminds us that it doesn't take a multitude to get a revival starting. We've had in American history several great awakenings. And the story about one of them is that a guy named Jeremiah, I believe it was Lampier, had a burden for the nation, and he called some people to prayer during the lunch hour. Maybe the first day or two, one or two showed, and then a few more. Within a few months, people were gathering all over what was the United States at that time. It didn't go as far out as it does now. But the Great Awakening came because one man felt a burden, called others to pray, and God answered. You can be the one that starts a move of God in Barbies Grove Baptist Church. It doesn't take 1,000 people. It just takes one or two with a heart for God and seek Him sincerely, diligently, earnestly. You know, that's what it says in James. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You say, well, I'm not righteous. Well, the Bible says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're saved, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you qualify. I know that many of you, like rewind. Many of you like me, you've known Patrick a good while and you've learned to love him. And I pray that the rest of you that yesterday was the first time you'd seen Patrick, you began to learn to love him and enjoy his preaching, enjoy his time of sharing. And we look forward to it again tonight. Before Brother Patrick comes, may we pray. Father, tonight we gathered in your house, a house set aside 136 years ago on this spot to honor Jesus. And following in that footsteps, we're here. The buildings have changed, but you haven't changed. You're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty and the Everlasting God. And we honor you and we praise you tonight. We welcome you into these hallowed walls. We ask for your anointing upon Brother Patrick, that you speak through him to that which we need to hear. Lord, help us to remember the old chorus. It's not my brother or my father or my sister, Lord, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. Speak to each of us individually. Father, we base our prayer on the promise of Jesus that where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. We're here in your name. We welcome your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for that introduction tonight and for that prayer. And I want to thank the choir for that wonderful, wonderful music. 17 people in your choir on a Monday night. Give God a hand for that. You know, on Monday night, you usually have home folk. And so tonight, I want to talk to you because I believe you are here because God has put you here. Because God has ordained from the beginning of time for you to be a minister of his gospel at Barbies Grove Baptist Church. And so as we think about what God has for you as a church, and as we think about what God has for you as an individual, I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Psalms. If you would look with me in the Psalms at Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, we are given an account that comes to us by the chief musician, the man that we all know and love because of his hymns and because of his prayers, the man by the name of David. And David wrote in Psalm 51, words of power, words of encouragement, words of transformation, and words that will literally change our lives just like they did for him if we will follow, trust, and obey them. So I'd like us to look together tonight at Psalm 51, beginning in verse number 10. And in verse 10 through verse 12, the Word of God gives us a nugget of truth based on the grace that he offers to those that love him. Would you listen as I read aloud and as I quote from Psalm 51, the words of David? The Bible says this, beginning in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Then I want you to jump down. I read an extra verse there, verse 13. I want you to jump down and look with me at verse number 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Our God loves a Christian that lives continually with a broken heart. Have any of you in this place tonight ever had a heart that was broken, a heart that was shattered, a heart that was disappointed, a heart that was dismayed? You see, when our heart becomes broken, that is when God begins to do a great work in our lives. And so as the Word of God says in Psalm 51 in verse number 17, "A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise." He means that he wants us to be broken men and women so he can build the spiritual house within our souls. So how does he build a spiritual house? How does he create a giant for the work and the Word of God inside of your temple, inside of what it is he has created by way of you? Beginning in verse number 10, I want you to notice, once we are broken before God, we have a God that will create something new. God wants to create something new within you every single day. He wants to do something new in your life. I have a spirit in my mind that continues to twirl and go moment by moment, because I always think of things and think of ideas and think of things that can take place and things that can happen. And often those things that I think about are things that are very unordinary or common. And if I told people what I was thinking about how you could operate business, how you could invest, how you could change things in the church, how you could change things in your home, how you could do things that really are not common, they would think I needed to go to a mental hospital, I can guarantee you. But you know what I've learned? In the work of God, in the Word of God, and those that have made the greatest progress for the kingdom of God are people that think outside of the box. They are people that are willing to get out of their comfort zone. They are people that are willing to make a difference and say, I'm going to take a risk. We have a group of people, some of them were in the choir last night, that are meeting every other Sunday from 3:30 until 6 o'clock on a vision committee about the possibility of us building a new church. And we are working very hard. But to be completely honest with you, it absolutely scares me to death. You see, we're thankful that the fire marshal hasn't showed up yet. But we no longer can have a church dinner in our fellowship hall because we can't fit in there. We're putting chairs out every single Sunday, and we realize we do not have a choice unless we're going to tell people we don't want them to come. So we have one side of the equation where we know we have to do something different. But we have another side of the equation in which we are scared to death. What I have found, when God breaks you, when God puts you in a place that you are desperate for Him to do something new and different in your life, He takes over and creates something new. So if we want something new at our church, if you want something new at your church, if you want something new in your workplace, if you want a new identity or a new spirit and mentality of joy, as was spoken about earlier tonight in the musical portion of the service, we must let God create something new. And as God creates something new inside of us, we must learn from David as he said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You see, church, we need God to be in the business of creating. My youngest son, Paul, I know he's going to be an engineer one day because he will get on the floor in his bedroom and he will spend hours and hours and hours putting together Legos. My oldest son is a sports fanatic. I bought him some Legos a few years ago. He looked at them, threw them down, never cared about them again. You see, two boys growing up in the same home, but going very opposite directions. But as God breaks them, and as God allows them to fall into His presence, then God can pick them up and build them up to be something new for His glory. So as I look at my Paul, as he puts together all those Legos, I will say to Paul, Paul, think about, just as you are creating something new, what God can do as He allows the compartments of your heart to be built for His glory. Oh, my friend, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter how many years you have behind you or ahead of you. All that matters is that you are willing to say, God, break me. Break my family. Break my business. Break my church. Break my community so that you can create and renew something in and through my life. That is one building block that God wants to bring about in every life here, and that is creating us to be something new. But then, once God breaks us, not only does He create something new, but He protects what is most important. Look at what the Bible says in verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And then I want you to go and look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You see, God not only wants to build us up to create something new, but God wants to protect what is most important to him. And we know in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are most important to him. That is why we sacrifice our time to God. That is why we sacrifice our tithe to God. That is why we sacrifice our treasures to God. That is why we are to be faithful in season and out of season. That is why we are to go about and allow the work of God to mold us, that we will be a sacrificial people. The Saturday night before Valentine's Day, my Sunday school class is going to do a mission project. We're inviting all of the babies and the toddlers and the children and the youth in our church to come that Saturday night. And we're doing Parents' Night Out. And we've told every family in our church, we want you to go out on us. We're going to take care of it. Go out and spend time together. So we're giving each of them a monetary donation from our class, so they can spend time alone together. And then we're going to take care of their kids while they do that. A few weeks ago, this came up in our class as a vision. But you see, we've never done this before. It costs some money. Some of us in the class had to take a little change out of our pockets to make it possible. But I am so excited to see what happens in those families' lives that we are investing in when they come back. And I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in the lives of those children as we have them from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock on February the 10th. You see, friends, when we are broken, God creates something new. And out of that comes a new vision. Out of that comes new ideas. But then God protects what is most important, and that is the Holy Spirit inside of us, convicting us and challenging us. But then, third, God brings us to a place of restoration so that the sacrifices we make when we serve based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit bring us to a healing place in our lives. I want to tell you something that happened last night. I got home and I had a text message from a lady in the choir. And she said, you know, I almost didn't come. She said, we were supposed to meet at the church at 3:50 to get on the van to go to Oakboro. And she said, it was raining. I didn't feel good. And I had all the reasons in the world to say, I'm going to just skip. But she said, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me and said, some of those people gave up their weekend right before Thanksgiving and came and ministered to you. Now you can give me a few hours and you can give the blessing back. So today, I responded to the text. And she said, I want to call you. And she calls me. And she said, preacher, you don't know. But in November, I was getting ready to quit my job that I've had for 38 years. A great job. A wonderful job. I was getting ready to leave our church. I was getting ready to tell my husband I wanted a divorce. I was about to forsake it all, but I showed up for that lay revival at our church, and a man from your church at Barbie's Grove was in a small group and spoke to that lady, and she did not even know him or know anything about him, but the Holy Spirit used him to change her whole direction. And last night, instead of being abandoned, away from her family, away from her job, away from her church, she was singing in your choir, praising God because of what God has done. You see, friends, God had to break her so God could remake her. So I say all that to say, all she wanted to tell me was, I wanted to give the blessing back for what had been given to me. And that is because we serve a God that restores, a God that heals. If you have broken relationships in your family, I would beg you to work through that and seek to deal with that. Now, with that said, sometimes you can do that, but it takes two, and we're only one. But we've got to be willing to do our part. If there are broken relationships in your workplace, in your school, or in this church, you come to this altar tonight and you give that to God and you work through that, because God doesn't want you to live as you always have. God wants to create something new within you. God wants to protect what is most important, and that is His Holy Spirit. And God wants to restore. And when that happens, you will be given joy. And with that joy, you will be given a new spirit. A spirit that will come from the way and the work of God. And you will be able to say what the Word of God says in Mark chapter 8. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Satan doesn't want this church to be open and operate for his glory. Satan doesn't want you and I to be here tonight. Satan doesn't want us to be a light for Christ. But when we say, Satan, we're not going to give you dominion. We're not going to give you power. We're not going to give you control. We are broken people before God. That is when God will bring revival. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis so beautifully, and so clearly in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now you and I are a part of that earth. But one day we're going to be a part of heaven. But until we get there, may we go forward broken so He can build. Broken. So He can protect, and broken so He can heal. I just read a verse to you a few moments ago about sacrifice. When we sacrifice, brokenness becomes married to love, and love becomes the theme of our sacrifice. In closing, I want to read this great hymn of the faith to you. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, all my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling, in His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs, faithful loving service to Him belongs. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. 2 years ago, when I became the interim pastor at Moon's Chapel, I agreed with them that I would give them 6 weeks of my time. They were about the size you are. And a lady that was actually here by the name of Jan last night, she was singing right there with the red hair. She said, "Preacher, I wonder if God's done with us. We don't have the money that First Baptist has. We don't have the programs that the Methodist Church has. Now we don't have any people." And I said, "You know what? We might not have what they have, but we can outlove anybody." And I had an idea. And I said, "Let's start collecting small change and loose bills on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Not our tithe. Above our tithe, let's ask everybody to collect and keep in their pockets all of their change. And on Sunday night and Wednesday night, let's throw that in the plate. Let's develop a love committee. Let's take that money and invest it in our community." Do you know we started that last January? And we collected $19,000 in coins. We supported 14 missionaries. We helped three families whose homes were caught by fire. We were able to feed homeless people. We were able to help those that could not have Christmas. These are things beyond our budget. And do you know what happened when we started giving the sacrifice? God started blessing us back. God started blessing us back. And God started bringing the fruit of our labor. But it happened because we said, love is going to be our theme. Not money, not power, not prestige, not programs. Love. God can take one or two of you. If you will let love lift you, and God can change this entire community. If your workplace is toxic, you let love lift you. God can change your workplace. God can change your school. And God can change everything around you. But we must let God create, let God protect, let God restore for healing by giving a sacrifice for the sake of love. So my question for you tonight, will you let love be your theme, allowing the sacrifices to go out so love can build up by being broken before the Lord? Who in your church needs you to love them? Who in your community? Who in your workplace? What child in your child's school desperately needs love? Let love, by way of brokenness, be your theme. Let's pray. Father, we know for every one of us that represent you in this room, there are countless people beyond us that need you. And Lord, you have planted us here. You have put us where we are to be an anchor of light for you. Lord, strip us from judgment and fill us with love. Strip us from worry and fill us with joy. Strip us from doubt and fill us with faith. And Lord, let love consume us with you. Lord, we are your people. Move and break us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand for our invitation tonight, I want to assume that everybody here is saved. But if you're not saved, come speak to your pastor. Let him or let me share with you, or let a Sunday school teacher or someone that you respect in this church share with you how you can give your heart to Jesus tonight. Don't leave here until you know Him. But if you're here tonight and you know you're saved, but you say, "Preacher, I've got something in my life I need God to recreate. I've got something in my life I need God to heal. I've got someone in my life that needs my love." Here at this altar, or there in your seat, you do business with God tonight, because it is worth it to make the sacrifice. Let us sacrifice for His glory. Would you stand?